So thank you very much for coming. It's very nice to be here, as always. I'd like to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam tonight, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service. There are some very beautiful verses in this chapter. And I'd like to read text 17 in particular. Many of you have heard it before. I'm sure many of you haven't, and I would especially, with the permission of the those of you who have been coming for a long time, I'd like to explain some introductory points for those of you who haven't been coming or who are here for the first time. So hopefully I'll be able to maintain the interest of everybody, because actually even the most basic points are important to hear over and over again, because spiritual life is not easy. And as we know, the first teaching in the Bhagavad Gita is that we're not our bodies. And we could say, yeah, I know that. But how many of us really know that and can apply that? So even the most basic teachings are helpful to hear repetitively. Even when Krishna was speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, he had to repeat the same things over and over so that Arjuna would finally understand. And he did, after only a few hours. It might take us a lifetime, or maybe even more, but eventually we'll get it if we keep hearing and applying ourselves. So this verse is a beautiful verse that I myself have read many times. And as we were discussing last night at a gathering that we had, these verses, they can be understood on so many different levels. And because Krishna is ever fresh, his words are ever fresh. The words of his pure devotees are ever fresh. And Krishna can appear before us. His devotees can appear before us through their words. And if by our sincerity and our devotion we allow these words to enter into our hearts and touch our souls, they will have a great impact on our consciousness. And depending on our level of consciousness, they will have either a greater or a lesser impact. So as we advance in spiritual life, the same verse will have more and more meaning for us. So this is text 17. Srimad Bhagavatam, Divinity and Divine Service, Chapter 2, Canto 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So for those of you who know the verse or want to bring it up on your cell phones, if you have the, what is it, an app? If you have the app, you can repeat after me. But afterwards, please turn them off. Or can you have the app on and the ringer off? Is that possible? Okay, so promise me you'll have your ringer off, okay? We've had some incidents in the past. Okay, ready? Shrimitam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayantasto Yabhajani Vidanoti Saritsatam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the Super Soul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee. cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Purport. I'll read the verse again, just so you can try to absorb it more. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Purport. Messages of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, are none different from him. Whenever, therefore, offenseless hearing and glorification of God are undertaken, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna is present in the form of transcendental sound, which is as powerful as the Lord personally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Shikshastakam, declares clearly that the holy name of the Lord has all the potencies of the Lord, and that he has endowed his innumerable names with the same potency. Declares clearly that the holy name of the Lord has all the potencies of the Lord, and that he has endowed his innumerable names with the same potency. There is no rigid fixture of time, and anyone can chant the holy name with attention and reverence at his convenience. The Lord is so kind to us that he can be present before us personally in the form of transcendental sound. But unfortunately, we have no taste for hearing and glorifying the Lord's name and activities. We have already discussed developing a taste for hearing and chanting the holy sound. It is done through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord. So how do we develop a taste for hearing and chanting? Does anyone know? We just read it. A little hint. Through service. Right. I'll read that again. We're talking about getting a taste for hearing, being able to hear. So we have already discussed developing a taste for hearing. Actually, I'll read the previous verse, because that explains. By serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So Krishna is seeing the sincerity of the soul who's rendering service, and he wants to enable that person to advance further. So he gives his mercy in the form of giving that person an attraction within the heart for hearing transcendental knowledge, which is non-different from Krishna, or for hearing the transcendental sound of his holy name. So we get that mercy. We need to be endowed with that desire. As Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Matak smritir gyanam aponam cha, that from me comes knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness. Everything is coming from Krishna. The level of consciousness that we're on, our ability to absorb ourselves spiritually or not, that's all coming from Krishna. And he's responding to our sincerity or lack of it, our determination or lack of it. He's responding. We call that karma in a broader sense. For every action there's a reaction. So everything we do, everything we think, there's a reaction. And that reaction will either elevate our consciousness or lower it, depending on what we've done to elicit that reaction that's given by Krishna through all of his agents. So Prabhupada is helping us understand these points. So by rendering service, we get more mercy. We become purified. And it's not like an automatic thing. Not a mechanical thing. There's a personality, the Supreme Personality, who's the witness, Sakshi. He's the witness. And he's responding to our desires and how we manifest them. So therefore, Prabhupada is saying, who would like to oil that door after the program? Very good. Oh, he already has it written down. Who would like to oil that door right now? Okay. So, okay, here we go. So Prabhupada continues. There is no rigid fixture of time, and anyone can chant the holy name with attention and reverence at his convenience. The Lord is so kind to us that he can be present before us personally in the form of transcendental sound. But unfortunately, we have no taste for hearing and glorifying the Lord's name and activities. We have already discussed developing a taste for hearing and chanting the holy sound. It is done through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord, and has thus become eager to hear about him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. Now, this is very nice. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. In other words, he's more anxious than we are. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. One cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless one is perfectly cleared of all sins. The material sins are products of our desires to lord it over material nature. It is very difficult to get rid of such desires. Women and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress on the path back to Godhead. Many stalwarts in the devotional line fell victim to these allurements, and thus retreated from the path of liberation. But when one is helped by the Lord himself, the whole process becomes as easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. To become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial. And it takes time to recover from this fire in nature. But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually he realizes his real position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances. And gradually all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. So, this is a very encouraging purport, explanation given by Prabhupada, a very encouraging verse as well, because from this we can understand that no matter what our condition, no matter what our state of consciousness, no matter what abominable activities we might have performed, here we have a process for overcoming the reaction to our previous activities, purifying ourselves. And as Prabhupada is explaining, it's all through the medium of hearing transcendental knowledge and developing a service attitude. The two go hand in hand. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, even if you're the most sinful of all sinners, if you're situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you can cross over the ocean of misery. And none of us are the most sinful of all sinners. So Krishna is saying this in the Bhagavad Gita to give us encouragement. And how can we do this? Krishna helps us. Prabhupada describes very, very simply how a little child on its own can't find its way, will get lost, will get in so much trouble. If the child takes the hand of its father, mother, very simple, right? So we have to learn how to do that. We have to learn how to take shelter. And it has to do with our state of consciousness. And our state of consciousness leads to our activities. As they say, thinking, feeling, willing, and then acting. So if we can elevate our consciousness, even though the thinking might not be so pure, we can check it with our higher intelligence so that we will be thinking properly. And then from thinking comes a feeling, the desire. Then willing, that means making plans to act on that desire. Then acting. So it's explained, if we can control the mind so that it thinks properly, it's not such an easy thing. It's very flickering and unsteady. And Arjuna is saying it's like trying to control, Prabhupada translate this. The verse says, more difficult to control than the raging wind. So sometimes Prabhupada will translate it as more difficult to control than a hurricane. It's the raging wind, right? So we have experience of not being able to control hurricanes. So Arjuna is saying it's more difficult to control the mind than a raging wind. So it is difficult. It's very flickering and unsteady. Krishna says you can do it if you strive by right means. And here the means is being given. Hearing transcendental sound. Satam prasanga mama virya samviro bhavanti hritkarna rasayana kata, that this transcendental sound, it enters the heart, goes directly to the heart, and purifies the consciousness. And that's what we need. That's what we need. And this verse explains why it's purifying the consciousness, because Krishna is directly present in the form of transcendental sound. So this is our meditation. Sometimes people ask us if we meditate. Yes, we do meditate. We do meditate. And most of the time, they're thinking if we meditate in the form that many people meditate. You sit there silently, close your eyes, try to stay awake. Either you try to blank your mind or you focus your mind on something, a candle, the sun, the moon, a leaf, God, or your conception of God, whatever that is, a picture, something like that. So that's nice, because when you meditate like that, if you can control your mind, then all those other thoughts that enter in, they don't enter in for a while. So you become a little more peaceful and you develop some determination. Because the mind will conjure up so many thoughts. One person described the mind as like a computer screen. What you see on the computer screen. And then the hard disk, most of what's on the hard disk you don't see at all, right? What's on the computer screen you see. So the hard disk is like the subconscious mind, the things that you don't normally think of. But there's always something that's coming up from there that you wind up thinking of. So the idea of this meditation is to control all those thoughts, keep them at bay, and just focus. So that has its benefits. It doesn't have the ultimate benefit. And it's certainly not as easy. Very difficult, actually. As Prabhupada is saying here, this is very simple. There's no rigid time. Anyone can chant the holy name. He's talking about chanting here. And he's also talking about hearing. So these are two types of meditations that we do. First, the Shravanam. So we're hearing. So what does our meditation involve? It involves utilizing the senses, which is good, because they're so active. They always want to be doing something. So you utilize the sense of hearing. And what are we hearing about? We're hearing about Krishna. In other words, we're meditating on Krishna. We're not just meditating on an object to focus the mind. We're meditating on the supreme object, the all-attractive object. And so, because Krishna is so attractive and we're hearing about him or even hearing his holy name, so we're hearing messages of Krishna, because Krishna is so attractive, we develop an attraction. And it's so much easier to meditate on something you're attracted to. You might say, well, I'm attracted to candles. I like candles. But for how long? How long can you sit and watch a candle? Of course, there are some people, by artificial means, they take some pill and they'll be watching candles for 72 hours without eating or sleep. But that doesn't work very well. So, but Krishna, you can meditate on Krishna because he's so attractive. And it's such an easy way to control the mind because of that attractive potency of Krishna. His beauty, his knowledge, his wealth, his qualities, his magnificence, everything about Krishna, his pastimes. So when the verse describes about hearing, the verse is describing all of these different things. So this is meditation. We're absorbed in the object of our consciousness. We're not becoming distracted, ideally. So this is our meditation. Yes, we meditate. We hear transcendental knowledge. We hear the holy name of the Lord. We chant the holy name of the Lord. And not only that, not only is Krishna all attractive, but when we're meditating on him like this, with devotion, Prabhupada is saying here, attention and reverence, or attention and devotion. When we're meditating on Krishna like that, what happens? He reciprocates. A candle can't reciprocate like a person. That's why when people get married, they don't marry candles or cars, computers, not yet anyway. They marry people because that's where they get the loving reciprocation. So that's another advantage of why our meditation of hearing is so perfect, so beautiful, so absorbing, so elevating, because God reciprocates. And Prabhupada is explaining that here also. So because we get that reciprocation, we become purified. We don't just control the mind and black out all the nasty thoughts. We become purified because we're in contact with the supreme object of love. And so that reciprocation is there. That's why Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that of all yogis, he was meditating on me, and devotion is the highest of all. Because you can reach the highest platform. Krishna prema, pure love. So it's a perfect process. And not only that, but what are we hearing about? We're hearing about Krishna, hearing about his devotees. So we're developing an attraction to role models, which is also very important, because we're trying to figure out, okay, what does it mean to be spiritual? How do I live a spiritual life? How do I apply this knowledge to my practical daily activities? And so we're hearing these beautiful stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we're hearing the Bhagavad Gita. This philosophy is couched within stories, and we're all very attracted to stories. And so within those stories, we read about great personalities, because Krishna is never alone. God is never alone. He's always surrounded by his devotees. The devotees are always thinking of him, serving him. So it's wonderful, because we start meditating on, we're always meditating on other people. So what types of people are popular to be meditated upon? We know. Rock and roll stars or music stars. Is that what they call them? Music stars. Music, yeah. Stars. Movie stars. Famous musicians. Whatever else. So now, we're not only meditating on Krishna, but we're meditating on his devotees also. And we're learning, through that meditation, we're learning how we want to be, and we're developing the strength and the faith to be that way by hearing these stories. And it makes hearing so much more attractive. Just like the Bhagavad Gita, spoken on a battlefield. In fact, I didn't read the Bhagavad Gita. My friend gave me the Bhagavad Gita, and 6 months later, I read it. But the point is, I didn't even want to take it at first. Sorry to say. And then he said, but this is exciting. This story takes place on a battlefield. That's what he told me. I said, all right, I'll read it. That's what convinced me. And my friend Dhanadhar Swami, who's coming here in March, you should all take a week off and just listen to all of his classes, because he's fantastic. Whatever I get to say, I always hear from him. So if he says something that I've said, don't think he's gotten it from me. I got it from him. So he was explaining that just like he grew up in, where was it? In New York City. And he used to go to the beach in Coney Island. Anyone from that area of the world? So every once in a while on the beach, it'd be real crowded. And every once in a while, everybody would be running in one direction. Fight, fight, fight. Everybody would be running to see the fight. The whole beach would clear out, except from this one part. So people are attracted to excitement, stories. So, of course, within this fight, within this battle, is contained the highest philosophy. So the stories that are that this verse is describing, these messages, they're given within these exciting, these wonderful stories. And the messages are, the teachings are given through the activities and the character of these great souls, or sometimes not great souls. So we learn not just what to do, but also what not to do. So it's very, very exciting. We develop role models. So I want to be like Marge Yudhisthira. And they're just like the little kids in our movement. They're always dressing up like these great kings, right? Or these great demons sometimes if they want to feel like being a demon for a while. So, well, we would do the same things, right, on Halloween. I don't know if they still, when I was a kid, we used to dress up as skeletons or bums. Or I'd never dress up as a what? I don't know somebody nice to dress up as, what, a clown? Do they have any nice things, costumes that people could buy? Princes. All right, that's pretty good. They have those, really? Okay. Okay, so everybody has their heroes. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's so many wonderful heroes. The kids in our movement, they dress up like these great heroes. So it's very absorbing to think like that. Oh, when we have plays, same thing. So and this is a great benefit of hearing. We develop an attraction for various personalities that we can meditate on, glorify, try to be like one day by following the process. So this is why this is given, and it becomes so easy to hear. I think I mentioned before, Prabhupada said in these books how 50 years ago, this is like, now it's about 100 years ago, or 90 years ago, people in India, they used to sit in the evening, and what would they do for recreation? They'd hear these great stories, these great pastimes. So absorbing, purifying, the most wonderful thing. So this particular verse here is explaining the glories of this particular meditation that we do. This is our meditation, hearing, and also chanting. This is our meditation. Chanting this knowledge, chanting the holy name, and also remembering. Just remembering everything we've read. It's also a wonderful meditation. So I wanted to share that with you because it's such a basic, fundamental part of our process. Prabhupada wrote so many books so that we can, and translated so many scriptures so that we could become absorbed in this process, in this meditation. And thereby experience the highest benefit. So when people ask us if we meditate, we sure do. We sure do. And it is mantra meditation that we do, and it's also meditating by hearing, transcendental sound vibration. And so these two types of meditations are being described here in such a wonderful way. Comments, questions? Thank you very much. Yes.
During our day-to-day lives, there's a lot of information coming our way, a lot of things we get in touch with during our day-to-day lives that that we absorb into our mind and we think about and remember. And like you said, the hard drive, it just brings it up sometimes. And then we also try and fill our brains with Krishna consciousness, with Krishna conscious literatures, images, memories. But it seems like a never-ending struggle. I mean, it seems like there's only so much that you can squeeze in there. Is there a way to balance it or to filter it?
Counteract it? That's a very good question. Just like Dwarka Prabhu was announcing the seminar that was going to be given. What was it? Fighting to remain... Fighting for a marriage? For your marriage. I was inside when I heard that. I was going, oh, what do people think? Are we to assume that everyone has to fight for their marriage. And what does that mean? Well, in Kali Yuga, in this age that we're living, it's everything's a fight. Everything's a struggle. And if we don't struggle in the right direction, things will automatically go in the wrong direction because that's the current of everything. So it's not that everyone has to fight for their marriage. In fact, I asked one devotee, this was a few years ago, I said, how do you deal with arguments within your marriage? And that devotee said, we don't have arguments. I said, did you ever have an argument? No. I won't say who it was. I don't want to embarrass the devotee. But that's very rare, isn't it? This is the age of quarrel, Kali Yuga. And the closer you are to someone, the more vulnerable you are, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We all know how things go. So maybe fighting for your marriage, maybe that's a little bit extreme, but maybe that happens within every marriage at one point or more than one point. Or you could say fighting to make your marriage better and better. That would be a good name. I think we should change the name. Be a little more encouraging. So Kali Yuga is a struggle. You have to fight. If you want to make something better than it is, you have to fight. Because it's naturally going to get worse, whatever it is, naturally going to get worse. So everything's a struggle. Controlling the mind is a struggle, especially in Kali Yuga, because we're being bombarded like anything. So, what was your question? How do we counteract that?
Yeah, how do we kind of control the intake of non-Krishna conscious things, yeah, but that we might need for our day-to-day life, versus Krishna conscious things? If you can filter it out, because like a bucket, you know, it gets full, but you want it to get full of the right thing, not just whatever comes into it.
Yeah. Well, Chaitanya Lila Prabhu, for those of you who don't know, he works in the North Park Mall. And he works in a store called, say it,
Lush?
He works in a store called Lush. You can imagine what that store is like. It's filled with, they sell natural cosmetics, right?
Yeah, natural, everything from soaps to hair care, cosmetic things.
So
vegan, organic, and vegetarian.
That's the North Park Mall, folks. So, actually, we were walking by there last night or the night before, filled with people trying to figure out how to make their bodies more, smell more beautiful, look more beautiful, and everything. So you can imagine the environment in there. And it was crowded, popular store. So how to balance all that with the Krishna consciousness that you're trying to maintain within, that meditation on God and on one's relationship with God. So it's not easy. And not just working in there, but working anywhere or being anywhere in this material, it's a great challenge. That's why, and it's a very sensual experience, sensually alluring, just going out in public in many places. You go to Vrindavan or Govardhan, you go to the holy places in India, You feel such a relief that you're there because it's saturated with Krishna consciousness and the material opulence isn't being thrown at you. Of course, it's everywhere. Wherever you, if you really want to find it, you'll find it. But living in the United States, it's a real trial because of the lower modes of material nature. So that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. It's a, it's not just a question of controlling the mind, it's a question of utilizing the senses and hearing transcendental knowledge and being absorbed spiritually whenever we can, so that whenever we can't engage our bodies and our senses in activities of Krishna consciousness, we can at least have an internal meditation going on. And that is so helpful. Right? So although it's not easy, or just like when we're trying to chant, and all these, you were talking about the impressions that come up, that's right, you're talking about the impressions that come. Prabhupada was saying that if you're having a hard time controlling your mind, then chant louder. Because the more the sound vibration is entering in, the less other things can enter in. Or chant in the association, or be in the association of those who are successful at chanting, at controlling their minds, and engaging in service. So we become absorbed in that reality as opposed to the reality that's coming up within our consciousness because of what we experienced previously during the day. It's a great challenge. It's a fight. And it's not an easy one. It's explained that spiritual life is meant for austerity. Sometimes we go, oh, austerity, because we're lazy. But anything we want, just like we tell the story of Bilva Mangal Thakur, talk about austerities. When he wanted to see his girlfriend, he had such a desire to see her, his prostitute. Even at his father's funeral, he was meditating on just getting out of there as soon as he possibly could to go and see her. And he did. It was pouring rain. Pouring rain. And there was no boat to get over to the other side of the river where she was. So he just jumped in the water and started swimming, grabbed hold of a log and kept on swimming, looked at the log a little more closely, saw it was a dead body. Didn't care. Kept going. And then reached the other side, ran to her house, started climbing up a vine, looked a little more closely, realized it was a snake, didn't care, kept climbing, finally got to her window and banged on her window. And she opened up the window and she said, if your desire to become Krishna conscious was as strong as your desire to have sense gratification, you would be a great devotee. And that impacted him so much that he surrendered. She became his guru. So he was very austere, right? Because he had such a strong desire. So we have to develop more and more desire for spiritual life, either in a positive way or a negative way. A negative way, for example, we realize how much we're suffering in material life. Due to that suffering, our desire for spiritual life increases because we don't want to suffer anymore, somehow or other. And we might say, well, I'll do whatever it takes. This world is hellish. What do I have to do? 16 rounds, 32, 64, whatever it is, just tell me. Get up at 2 o'clock in the morning? Sure, whatever. Suffering so much. Human life is meant for austerity. So we have to fight for Krishna consciousness. And that means we have to be austere, or more austere. We have to develop that desire. We have to read more, to chant more. We have to do all the right things, and we're learning what the right things are because it's a science. And if we apply these things, then we'll have a strong internal meditation. If we're acting properly, meditating properly, not wasting time in nonsense things, because that really affects our consciousness. Those that talk about impressions, so many impressions from the internet. So many impressions. TV, the internet. If we want to be able to, minimize, but just keep them at bay. Minimize them. Then there are certain things we can do. Surround, just like in the temple room, such a beautiful place, beautiful environment. It's a very sensual place, right? In a good way. So this attracts the senses. This absorbs the senses. So we have to do the right things. And if we're living properly, then we'll be living on a different plane. Then when these other things come along, we'll be able to not let them affect us so much, because we'll have a different internal meditation going on. Just like I noticed this and Prabhupada told us also, if you're preaching, if you're sharing Krishna consciousness with others, you'll become very, very strong in spiritual life. Because what you're experiencing, you're talking about Krishna, you're developing loving relationships with other people based on Krishna consciousness. That's so powerful. And you start thinking about these things, all the people in your life that you have these types of relationships with. And this will be your predominant meditation. So those other things that come along, they won't have such an impact on your consciousness. So that's very important. So how we're affected is determined by how we live our lives, or our ability to meditate, to hear properly, is affected by how we're living our lives. So it's no easy answer to that question. We really have to step it up in order to not let these things hinder our Krishna consciousness. And we can step it up. And Prabhupada is giving us the means by which we can do that. It just requires a little austerity. Everything does. Everything that we want to accomplish does. And what more valuable thing to accomplish is there than Krishna consciousness? I hope that helps. Yes, Prabhu.
You spoke about the internal aspect, the one sadhana. When you say the external aspect, one's service in relation to their work, for example, if I work and I give my income to the service of Krishna, then naturally I can also think.
So as soon as you said that, Chaitanya Leela walked out. Now you shouldn't think he's not a generous devotee. He really is. So. It was just a coincidence. Okay, Hare Krishna. He's going to work now.
And naturally, I can also think that I'm doing this work not just for myself, I'm doing it for Krishna. Would you say it's equally as important as the...
Yes, in other words, and if we are doing our work for Krishna, if we are using the fruits of our labor for Krishna, then we get Krishna's mercy. There's a great degree of protection there, especially if that's our meditation while we're doing the work. If that's our internal meditation while we're doing the work, that protects us. That protects us from, or just like if you're distributing books, also your internal meditation helps you maintain yourself. Yeah, and if in fact you are giving the results of your labor to Krishna, then so much more protection is there. Yes. It's an important point. Anyone else? Okay. So we hope that you take some of this message that Prabhupada has given here home with you. And we can all do a little bit more and these types of purports, they very give very practical instruction. Prabhupada is saying, through the medium of service, we develop a desire for hearing. So as much service as we can do for each other, we're talking about helping people, helping each other become Krishna conscious, for others, for the temple, for the community. If we have a nice service attitude, then our ability to hear will increase, right? And of course, the hearing increases our desire to serve, so they're both intertwined. So if we can just increase the quantity and quality, and I'm speaking to myself, that's why I'm saying we, there's always room for improvement everywhere. So if we can just try to increase, it should be our daily meditation, actually. How can I do better today than I did yesterday? If we can take that home with us, then we'll benefit ourselves greatly and benefit those around us. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we have some devotees from Argentina that are listening tonight and watching us. So let's say Hari Bol to all the devotees from Argentina.
Hari Bol!
There they are, right there.
Hari Bol! His Holiness Guru Gunagrahi Maharaj ki.
Hare Krishna.